The Pet's Life with Jim Dog, Ireland's first pet resort by Des the Vet, managed by vets, loved by pets. Daycare, vet care, premium pet food and grooming. Visit at petslife.ie.
And it is a Tuesday morning, which means Des is with us. Des, good morning.
Morning, John. Great to be here again.
And that weather is just getting better. You're off cycling and stuff and doing all sorts of great things,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, myself and 17 other members of Kildare Cycling Club, we were in Ennisthymen, County Clare on Saturday, competed in the Cliffs of Moher Challenge. And, of course, we all brought the winter gear and the rain gear, and we were delighted to find lovely warm weather.
Good. So, Did you bring the suntan as well, lotion?
Yeah, I got a little bit of sunburn. I should have put on the sunscreen and I didn't. Yeah, yeah. I will again from now on.
Very good.
We'll get spoiled very quickly once we get a little bit of good weather.
See, that's what it is. Even I was just kind of out and about, just involved in a rugby game on Saturday down in Kildare. I was doing the semi-final of the towns. And I can tell you, I was just walking around and running around the pitch, and I came off the pitch and I said, I got colour. I can't believe it. I got burnt because I didn't protect my head. Like,
yeah, the old bald head now, John, you see. Yeah, yeah, that's
between
where the,
you
yeah.
and me, I tell you.
Not much we can do about it at this stage.
Not at this stage of my life, no. Anyway, on to other matters. So a couple of weeks ago, we touched on this, and we touched on it even the week before earlier when we had a great chat about cats. As it transpired, the whole programme ended up about cats. We never got on to talk about dermatitis,
no.
about dogs, and,
yeah.
and the continuing saga.
Yeah.
But because it's that time of the year, it's worth talking about in more depth.
Yeah, it is. It's really topical. So dermatitis is, if you'll pardon the pun, it's more than skin deep.
Yeah.
And we did just scratch the surface of it last week in terms of talking about fleas and stuff like that. But dermatitis is more than just fleas.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about it is, right, our pets have hair all over their bodies.
Yeah.
And they don't wear clothes. So their skin is in contact with the environment all the time.
Mm.
And the fact that they have hair all over their bodies means that they have a more complex skin, a more complex epithelium than humans.
Yeah.
So they actually get more skin disease, more skin infections than people do.
Yeah, that's because they develop the allergic dermatitis and they become very itchy as a result of the skin, isn't it?
They do.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is that a lot to do with the hair as well? Is it?
Yeah, it's to do with the hair. It's a couple of things about reason why they get scratchy as much as they do is because dogs in particular need a lot of omega-3 and omega-6.
Hmm.
They need a lot of oil in their coat to keep their coats clean. So if their blood oil levels, omega-3 levels, if they're anyway deficient in minerals and vitamins, they'll get dry skin and they're more prone to getting an itch. So it's a complex interaction of the dietary mineral deficiency, omega-3, omega-6, that plus their susceptibility to allergens.
What's the trigger?
The trigger is an antibody response at skin level which goes into the blood.
Right.
And the antibody response would be a response to any number of a variety of either internal or external factors. External factors would be a tick bite, a flea bite, a horsefly bite, right? Mites, lice, those type of things. We talk about grass mites and harvest mites as well as fleas. So all the little creepy crawlies that dogs and cats, being out and about in the environment, they come in contact with. They bite, there's an antibody response in the blood, on skin level and then in the blood, and they get an itch.
Okay.
Get a little scratch, and then the owners are alerted to it because they see the inflammation, they see the hot spot, they see the dog licking, or they see him scratching.
Okay, now here's a question for you. So every week, no matter what, the stuff that you put onto the back of the neck, what you call it?
The spot on.
The spot on. So the spot on just is preventative for the likes of the ticks and the stuff.
Yeah.
So in a funny sort of way, is the spot on also kind of helps with the animals not getting dermatitis?
It does, because there's a repellent effect.
Yes.
So if you can repel these bugs and creepy crawlies, then you're preventing the bites, you're preventing the contact, you'll prevent the antibody response, the inflammatory reaction, and you'll prevent the itching and scratching, and you'll prevent dermatitis.
Okay, that makes sense as well. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so what are we talking about when we talk about dermatitis in dogs themselves?
Yeah.
I was reading somewhere where it just kind of, it's kind of like a hot spot, so they also get red, dry, bumpy and itchy.
Yeah.
Is that just the normal symptom, the initial symptom?
Well, you see, one big clue to and a case of dermatitis would be hair loss.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
Alopecia, little patches of hair loss.
Yes.
Because they scratch, they itch, they rub, they're inflamed, they're irritated, they'll get little spots and patches of hair loss.
Yeah.
So hair loss in a dog is never normal.
Okay.
Right? Now, hair loss in you and I can just be a sign of aging. But
since about 25.
That's right. But alopecia in a dog is never normal.
Yeah.
So if owners spot any
patches.
Little patches like yeah. that, that is significant, right? That's an indicator of dermatitis. And then when we've seen that, we've seen the dermatitis, we have to then figure out, is the dermatitis an itchy dermatitis or a non-itchy? So that's the next category, the next broad differentiation. Some dermatitis cases, the ones that are inflammatory, the ones that are caused by all the stuff we just mentioned, they'll cause an itch-scratch response.
Yes.
Okay, but other forms of dermatitis that might be either metabolic or systemic.
Mm.
That means they're coming from the blood, they're coming from internally, they're in the body.
Yeah.
Right? A dermatitis that's metabolic or systemic probably won't be itchy. So
right.
your differentiation, my differentiation as a vet is, an animal comes in with hair loss, I have to decide, is it inflammatory, therefore the animal is scratching, or is it non-inflammatory, therefore the animal is not scratching and it's metabolic.
Yes.
Now, if they're scratching, I can investigate that by examination of the skin.
Right.
But if they're not scratching, I will probably also have to do blood tests to look under the bonnet, as it were, and see what's going on internally.
Okay. I'll put things into context. I, for some unknown reason, got an ear dermatitis, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the first thing you do is you scratch your ear with your finger,
yeah.
right? Then you rub your eyebrow or something like else. And I went to the doctor and I said, what's wrong with me? And I said, he said, you got dermatitis in your ear. I said, but why is my eyebrow itchy? Is it the same with dogs and in that context where they lick their paws, they go to the area and they spread it like wildfire?
Yes, it is. And this is where we touched on it earlier. And there was a customer spoke about it, or a dog owner who phoned into us mentioned this idea of a hot spot.
Yes.
Now, dermatitis spreads because of the itching and scratching and because of the transfer of either the bacteria or the fungi or the grease or the parasites that transfer across through scratching from one part of the body to the other. For example, just as would happen in a dog from the inside the ear to across onto the face.
Yeah, it works exactly the same way.
Does, it
because
does.
The one thing that dogs do is they lick, don't they?
They
use their tongue to lick the wounds. They lure their to lick the itchiness, and that will probably, if they're licking one area and then they lick their toes, and subsequently that causes the problem again.
Exactly. So, for example, pododermatitis, when we get these swollen toes, inflamed toes, you get an athlete's foot type reaction in the dog's paws, right, around the nail beds, and the lick, and the greasy fungi that's there, just like the athlete's foot, it'll end up in the elbow or some other part of the dog's body.
Okay. Mary's on. She says, my dog has been rubbing his face on the carpet quite recently a good bit and licking his paws. We did notice some redness on his skin. Could this be the beginning of dermatitis?
Yes, it is. Undoubtedly, listener, that's the beginning of dermatitis.
Okay, good one.
No doubt. That your dog should visit your local vet. I'd recommend that, please. Before we get into a spell of warmer weather and the amount of allergens that are out there increase, before the allergens increase, you should have your dog seen by the vet, because that will get worse. It won't get better.
Okay, fair enough. And I can understand exactly those symptoms as well, because, I mean, when I was Googling, doing a little bit of research, and it came up as one of the key watch signs is if you see your dog rubbing his head in the carpet, it means there's an irritation there of some
These
sort.
Are really common in the paler pigmented, more modern crossbreeds.
Yes.
Very, very common now. We spoke last week about the numbers of modern dogs that are of the Cockapoo or Cavachon, that nice small to medium sized modern family pet, that's a beautiful kind family pet, and generally speaking they're really healthy because they're crossbreeds and people love them because of their creamy colours and pale colours and white coats, but they have a pale pigmented skin, and they're highly prone to skin infections, dermatitis of all sorts of different kinds as a result of that, because of their skin type.
Okay. We've gone to the stage now where we've figured out that it is dermatitis. We're also looking at, we see where the redness. So the other areas I see that would be around the flanks, the ears, the armpits, the groin area. Is that all just common?
Yeah, location tells us, the location of the alopecia, the location of the licking, the location of the hair loss tells us a lot about the cause. Okay, so a lot of hair loss along the top line, close to the tail area, often associated with fleas. A lot of hair loss around the feet, often associated with grass mites or pollen reactions.
Okay.
Hair loss on the tummy, often associated with a food allergy.
Okay.
So we know by the location what the possible cause probably is.
Brilliant, because you just said food allergy, and Dave was on to us as well. He said that he was told that his Labrador was had a reaction to food, and subsequently this was what caused his initial dermatitis. The medication did work to a degree, but he's still back scratching.
You have to keep him on it.
Do you? I didn't realise that.
Oh, yeah. If a dog has a food allergy, the two parts to it would be, first of all, identify which food ingredient is he particularly allergic to.
Keep him away
from
it, yeah.
And the list will be, it'll be additives, it'll be colours, right, in the food, artificial preservatives, right? They're the possible culprits of the allergy. Chicken is another one high on the list, another cause of these allergies. Another one high on the list, grains. A lot of cheaper pet foods contain high levels of imported processed cereals that are put in them for the energy levels. And a lot of our dogs tend to be allergic to these, the processed cereals, and or the processed chicken byproducts that go into these foods. So you have to look at the food. You have to look at what they're allergic to, and then you have to change the food. And you have to give that a couple of months, really patiently, and you have to be really thorough and determined in your food elimination plan. In other words, cut out anything that might contain anything strange other than whichever diet your vet prescribes.
That makes sense as well.
That's the first part of it.
Yep.
Next part then is, if they put him on medication, it'll be an antihistamine, right? Could be a tablet called Apoquel, could be a tablet called Atopica. Might also down the road be the antihistamine injection called Cytopoint.
Okay.
Right? If you're getting these, you have to stick with them.
Okay. Initially, when the first diagnosis comes from the vet, your local vet out there, do they put them on steroids or anything first initially?
Yeah, the older, simpler, and let's face it, much cheaper treatment used to be a type of a steroid tablet called prednisolone.
Okay.
Increasingly, more and more vets, including myself, are reluctant to prescribe these prednisolone steroids because they have byproducts, side effects for house pets. We don't like the side effects. The owners don't like the side effects. So we're steering away from the steroids, from the prednisolone, and we're using a better type of an antihistamine tablet nowadays, such as one on the market called Apoquel, another on the market
called Apoquel
Atopica. These are canine antihistamines.
And also, would those antihistamines double job? Because we mentioned before that come the summertime that the animals do get hay fever, or the equivalent of a hay fever to a degree.
Yeah. Again, this is another great word that's used in relation to a lot of these allergic dogs. Multifactorial. It can be frustrating to narrow it down to one thing.
Yeah.
A lot of them are allergic to a few things. They might be allergic to colours and additives in food, and they might be also slightly allergic to grass mites and grass and pollen.
Okay.
You'll get a bit of both, especially the cockapoo types, actually, the sensitive dogs.
And Damien from Kilcock was on. He had a problem with his cockapoo regarding skin conditions. We gave him the tablets, we gave him the injections. It worked out really, really well. Then we were recommended a medicated shampoo.
Yeah, the reason why would be because of the scratching and because of the drying out of the coat and because of the hair loss, you get these secondary fungal infections on the coat. And they're a bit like athlete's foot. Whenever you get a strong smell from your dog that's been scratching for a while, a musty, fungusy smell, it's like athlete's foot. It's generally a type of fungal bacteria called Malassezia. And it's not nice, it's yeasty, and it's not pleasant to get it on your own fingers when you're handling your own dog, petting your dog. So that shampoo is not a cure. It's part of the management of helping to control the fungus infection that's a secondary problem on the skin until the itch is fully
Brilliant.
Sorted out.
Yeah, okay. What about supplements, Des, regarding omega-3 and omega-6 essential fatty acid supplements?
Yeah, good. So the dietary component is one of the reasons why they're prone to dermatitis, more so than people even, is because they need high quantities of an acid called linoleic acid in their blood. Their liver can't produce this linoleic acid. They need omega-3 and omega-6 oils to be added from fish sources, usually, in order to make sure that they have a nice, oily, shiny coat, and that oily thin membrane over the coat protects them from some of these dermatitis problems.
Okay. I was talking to a friend of mine who was a vet quite recently, and he said flea control is the one thing that will help with your dermatitis. Get the spot-ons, get everything done. We mentioned this already just a few minutes ago back. If you be preventative is the key.
Yeah, so we talk about the parasite control, and the new recommendation for all of these house dogs is to do it monthly. The reason why we say that is because we don't want them bringing parasites into the house, and when that happens, then vets and doctors together are concerned about the public health issue. So if you treat the animal monthly, it'll prevent the animal from getting dermatitis, but it'll also prevent anybody in the house from picking up mange or scabies or any of these horrible things.
Yes, absolutely. What about environmental control? I mean, environmental air, you know, bedding. What about living in certain conditions? What about the weather changing and all that type of stuff?
Yeah, so do you know what's a big risk area or a highly risky place? Turf sheds and fuel sheds.
Okay, so that'd be very prominent in rural Ireland.
So people bring in the dried out wood and the dried out turf and store it in the shed, and the dog or cat has access to the shed inadvertently, in and out of the shed, and there are all of the creepy crawlies from the bogs and woodlands brought in on the fuel, on the household fuel. Mm. Modern homes are not burning solid fuel, but here in County Kildare, out in the countryside, let's face it, most of us still are burning some form of a solid fuel. So with these fuel sheds, you have fleas and grass mites and harvest mites and all the rest of it coming in on the fuel, and therefore these will jump on the dogs and cats.
Mm. Okay. Dermatitis in general, when it comes to your dogs and cats, is it actually cured or is it actually just managed?
Yeah, just managed, John.
Right, okay.
Invariably, yeah. Now, there are types of dermatitis that can be cured, but probably not the scratching forms, okay? In the sense that, do you remember I said we have to figure out whether this dermatitis is itchy or it's not itchy? So the dermatitis that's not itchy is probably systemic.
Yeah.
Okay, now, the systemic forms, there's a few glandular diseases that could cause hair loss. Diabetes is one.
Okay.
Cushing's disease is another.
Absolutely, I've heard of that too.
Addison's disease. Hypo and hyperthyroid. So an underactive thyroid can cause hair loss, can cause dermatitis.
Okay.
So these types of alopecia, they're metabolic. Metabolic diseases can be treated, oftentimes with a simple tablet.
Okay, that makes sense as well. Okay, so let's have a look at some general questions. Well, actually, there was one that came in there a second ago back. It was to do with oils and salmon. Give feeding my cat salmon or whatever else.
Yeah,
is good for you?
Very, very good. Lots of the skin control foods, the skin care diets that vets recommend are high in fish oil, in fish oils, as well as being hypoallergenic. So our product, the Gym Dog product, for instance, is called Itchies. It's very, very high in fish oils. It's salmon-based. The carbohydrate source is sweet potato. There's a lot of vegetables in it. There's a lot of brown rice in it. There are no cereals, no grains, no processed carbohydrates, no additives, no colours. So all the bad stuff taken out and loads of the extra good stuff put in. Mm. But the key is, though, if you're feeding this diet, you're probably dealing with a highly reactive, highly sensitive dog. By the time he's scratching for ages and a vet eventually gets a handle on the problem and on the cause of it, you have a dog whose entire system is very sensitive and is very prone to, very highly allergic, highly reactive. So these dogs that have been scratching for a good while and they are highly reactive, a big, big, big warning out there. There's no half measures in terms of dietary control. Feed the good stuff and nothing but, or else you will be in and out of the vets more often.
Okay. Tuesday morning it is. Still a few minutes left and some more questions coming in. We'll get to those in just a second. Don't forget, it's a Dog's Life with Jim Dog is with us every Tuesday. And of course, we also podcast it as well. So, my dog suffers from hay fever. He's a little Yorkie. What can I do to prevent this or give to him? We just touched on it briefly.
Yeah, very simple.
So a Yorkie. The Yorkie's a tiny
little Yorkie with hay fever, no other dermatitis. So when the sister mentions that her Yorkie is hay fever, she's talking principally about the exact same symptoms that a person would see: the runny eyes, runny nose, probably a little snuffle, a little sneeze. That's pure hay fever. If he doesn't have dermatitis on the paws or the ears as well, okay, then it is just, as I say, an inhaled hay fever thing. So what you can do is you can avoid woodland, parkland, bogland and canal banks with your dog, and walk him and exercise him and give him his recreation and his playtime in more domestic environments such as the park, in your neighbourhood, playgrounds in the neighbourhood, walking in the suburban areas, run around on the green outside your house and so on, and the symptoms won't be as bad. So as I say, avoid the great outdoors, avoid the wilderness.
Okay.
Secondly, you can, absolutely, with these little dogs, you can give Piriton and Citrine and some of the very harmless and gentle antihistamine tablets that a person might use.
So, okay, I just want to quantify that. When you say that Piriton, that's also used in humans, we're talking about dog versions, or are you talking about human versions?
Yeah, it, as a stopgap, sometimes if you don't have the appropriate doggy medication, a half a Piriton will get you out.
That's what I need to know, just to clarify that as well. So half a Piriton, if you do realise that there is a kind of allergic reaction, or there is a bit of hay fever going on or something similar along those, that's an antihistamine. Half a tablet will do it. Okay, so Des, here's another one. What's the best oil supplement for dogs? Is oils like salmon oil we buy off the shelf pure oil, or is it watered down?
It's watered down, a lot of it.
Yeah.
You're better off feeding a good skincare food with the oil in it.
Okay.
Because the danger with supplementation is, on top of a balanced diet, on top of a rich diet, on top of a good diet, if you're putting extra fish oil on top of that, yeah, you'll give your dog diarrhea.
Okay, right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Now, we don't do it very often with our cat, for example, but mm-hmm, as a treat, you know, you see this kind of little tins of salmon, mm-hmm, or little tins of tuna, mm-hmm, we do give him a little bit. Now, he's on the dry food, as
yeah,
you give us all
they
the time.
Love
recommend
it. And
it,
for
yeah,
cats, there's nothing wrong with using a nice little bit of tinned tuna or salmon on top of the cat food.
Okay.
It's really good for them.
Do you just
give
them the dry, or is it if it's the briny stuff or the oily stuff, is it safe? Would you avoid giving them that?
I'd avoid the oily one. I'd use the one in brine. And I'd just chop a little bit of it through the food.
Okay, so if you're giving them the dry food, just give a little bit.
Add the tuna. Add the tuna. Add the sardines are good as well.
Very good.
Cats like
sardines,
do
they?
They do.
In brine,
and dogs do too.
Don't think they like the tomato sauce on them.
They don't like the tomato sauce on them. They certainly do not.
Okay.
No.
Right, fair enough. What about sunburn and in dogs generally, Des?
Yeah, good one. You get these very ulcerative, nasty lesions, red lesions, and it can affect the nose, paws, lips, muzzle, even the tips of the ears. Dogs and cats that are pigmented, that have the white patches and the pale pink skin exposed, right? They will be prone to sunburn. So I'm thinking of collies with white patches on their face, ears and paws, and pure white dogs such as Westies.
Yeah.
So they do get sunburn. And you know what? You can use Factor 50.
You can absolutely
use human
Factor 50.
Factor 50 sun cream on your dog. But if the lesions are really red and inflamed and sore and what I would characterise as ulcerated, then you should have a vet look at it, and possibly also a steroid cream along with the sunblock would be required.
Okay.
We're looking at a picture here, John, now.
We are indeed. It says it's a cabochon, is it?
Hi, Des. Is this dermatitis? Sadie is a cabochon. Has this redness on two paws, licking her paws a lot. Yes, that is dermatitis. The reason for the brown staining is because of the persistent licking of the paws. That's saliva staining, which a vet would recognise as an indicator of habitual licking. That means that the sensitive skin in front of and around the nails there, that sensitive skin is inflamed. That's pododermatitis. That's a little dog with an irritation caused by one of the factors we've talked about already.
Okay, so in that case, because it is a cabochon or whatever the dog may be, so what are we, for her now to start off initially, what's the first thing they're going
to do? Yeah, honestly, I think that I
just bring it to the vet.
I'd bring that to the vet and get that looked at and checked out. It's not going to go away.
No.
You have to invest in the time and investigation and diagnosis early on, so that you can manage it. Because if it's seasonal, if it's caused by, which it might be caused by grass mites or harvest mites, it might be seasonal. You need to know that because it'll happen again the next time the same season, the same weather reoccurs. If it's dietary, it's going to be year round. If it's something in your house, such as house dust mites, that's causing it, it's going to be year round. So you do need to have it investigated. You need to know so that you can plan for how to manage it.
Okay, brilliant stuff indeed, Des. That was absolutely fantastic as always. And of course, we'll continue with any of these type of subjects and topics as they come in towards the relevant seasons with your animals. And if you've got some queries, questions, or like little photographs of Sadie there, you can also do exactly what we do in the Green Room, the gardening. You can send us their pictures. That way we can show the picture to Des and he'll take a little bit of a mini diagnosis. But as he said,
yeah,
regarding the dermatitis and for Sadie, go to your vet, get it done, because it'll just take the whole process pressure off you and your doggy as well at the same time. Des, that was absolutely terrific.
That's great, John.
Keep the questions coming. 0833 97 97 97. We'll carry over any for next week. Des, thanks.
It's a pet's life with Jim Dog, Ireland's first pet resort by Des the Vet, managed by vets, loved by pets. Daycare, vet care, premium pet food and grooming. Visit a petslife.ie.